Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Evan Horowitz, and I'm ready to flit over to City Hall Plaza, where Hub Week is underway. That's Boston's Festival for the Future. Radio Boston's Chris Sidorick is there and eager to talk to us. Chris, how's it going?
Hey, Evan. We're here at the WBUR booth. We're set up right next door to the center stage area, so there's lots of folks milling around, people just leaving to talk or coming for the next presentation. We're right across the plaza from the Hall of the Future, so we're right here in the middle of the action.
It's funny. I know you're far away. I feel like I have to shout into the microphone, but probably that doesn't make a difference. Anyway, I don't have your view.
No, that's the magic of radio, my friend.
I don't have your view, but I gather there's a lot to see there. Can you give us a taste?
There is a lot to see down here. And you're crazy if you think I didn't jump on one of those demo VR headsets immediately when I got here.
That's what I would do.
Yeah. There's also an art exhibition called We the Future set up, about a dozen or so large shipping containers. I walked through one of those. It was called Neon Dreams Crystal Cave. This really cool, glowing, fluorescent cavern made out of these tiny 3D crystals that were actually made out of paper and then hand-stitched together. Pretty cool to see. There's also a bunch of 3D printed clothes. There's brainstorming walls everywhere, lots of different topics for people to share some ideas and connect. And I know Jamie Bologna, who was here covering the event for us yesterday, got a kick out of the wax figures of Bill Gates and Steve Jobs. You can let him know that Mark Zuckerberg has joined that crew.
Oh, add Zuckerberg, wax Zuckerberg.
Wax Zuckerberg, that's right. There's also lots of interesting conversations going on covering a wide range of topics, everything from energy-efficient cities to how our culture thinks about voting to depression and brain health to how we can best utilize self-driving cars. So really a lot of variety, and people seem really excited to connect and share their ideas.
I'm embarrassed to say that the thought that came into my head about Festival for the Future, because apparently I'm old enough that my vision of the future involves a TV show from 30 years ago. But I'm just interested in whether we're ever going to get the robots from the Jetsons. Because yesterday, our colleague Jamie Bologna spoke with Ty Brady from Amazon Robotics, who said this.
I think in robotics, we're in the very early innings. If it were a baseball game, it would probably be the first batter. It might even be the first couple pitches. I mean, it's that early. It's not until recently it has this confluence of computing and sensors and connectivity has come about. And this has given age to in what I view as a golden era of robotics that we're just about to embark upon. So it's super exciting because it's so early. And we think that we can shape that in a way to make the Amazon customer experience even better.
So, Chris, that's Ty Brady from Amazon Robotics saying we're at the beginning, but maybe headed to something great? What do you make of
that? Yeah, I'm sorry to disappoint you. I haven't seen any Jetson-style flying cars that fold into a briefcase.
Exactly what I want.
I understand. We all do. it is funny you mentioned the Jetsons, because I did see something pretty futuristic over in, I guess, fittingly called the Hall of the Future. It was a demo setup called The Future of the Smart Home. And it's basically set up this sleek, clean kitchen and living room with chairs and tables. And there's this large bureau desk combo unit that was about 6 feet tall, maybe 4 feet wide. And as I was standing in front of the display, it suddenly just started moving by itself, slowly gliding across the living room floor. And as it moved, a bed slid out the back, the idea being basically that the home can turn the living room into a bedroom to help maximize space. Seemed pretty crazy to me, pretty out there for a home to be filled with self-moving furniture. But I'm actually here with someone now who says we're maybe a year or two away from our homes thinking and moving on their own. And that's Colin Engel. He's the co-founder and CEO of iRobot. Colin, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So you led a discussion earlier today on the center stage called Living at Home with Robots. And you guys talked about a new development in the concept of a smart home that you're calling Spatial Context. Can you tell us a little bit about that and why you feel this could be so transformational?
Sure. So, you know, trying to make a robot intelligent is really hard. But it's not hard for reasons that you might think. I mean, AI can understand things that, you know, if you talk to a Google assistant and say, hey, what's the temperature outside today? It'll parse the words, go to the internet, find the answer and come back. But if you say, hey, Google, can you turn on the lights in the kitchen? the problem is we don't know what the kitchen is, and so, or where the kitchen is, or what's in the kitchen. And so even if you understand the words, it's hard to know what to do. And that's changing. And the what we're trying to show in the Hall of the Future in our smart home is a different way to think about technology in the home, where the home is smart enough to understand what it's supposed to do based on where you are, what you're doing, and what you might ask. So if you walk into the living room, well, the lights in the living room should turn on, the heating should adjust. If you say, turn on the TV, the right TV should turn on, not the TV in the bedroom. And the house should be automatically responding to you. And I think that we're pretty close to that. One of the things that you now can do, and this is only a few weeks old, is if you make a mess in the living room, you could say, hey, okay, Google, clean the floor in the living room. And now we have a robot that will actually do that because it understands where the rooms are. It'll turn itself on, come to the living room, and do its job.
So how would you compare that to kind of the idea of what we think of now as a smart home? Maybe I can do my thermostat from my phone or those types of things.
So I think today that the smart home is a collection of a lot of stuff. And I think for a while companies thought, hey, I'll add a wireless chip to my whatever it is, refrigerator or thermostat or speaker or light bulb, and I'll create an app on my phone. And I can turn on the lights in the room by pulling the phone out of my pocket, turning that on, unlocking it, starting the app, waiting for the app to connect. And
or you can flip the switch.
30 seconds later, you can turn on the light. All right, or you could flip the switch. And
right.
I think what has become clear is that's wrong. That's, like, really wrong. We need the house to turn the light on automatically just because it understands that you're in a situation right now where you'd really like that light to be on.
So what's the biggest challenge to do that? Because you say, okay, now we have a vacuum that knows what the kitchen is. To your average person, that doesn't seem like that complicated a concept. So what is the challenge there?
One of the big challenges of robotics is we people are really good robots. We have all this understanding of the environment already, and, you know, we're in the kitchen, we know we're in the kitchen. But robots, like the mechanical kind of robots, are really stupid. They don't have any of this knowledge pre-programmed in. They didn't grow up and learn about different rooms. They're, you know, bits and things. So what we had to do was first build the technology so that the robots can recognize landmarks. So as the robot's moving around, it's like, okay, I know what that is. I know what that is. Okay, corner of chair, I know what that is. Okay, I know where I am. And then build from landmarks and the ability to figure out sort of X, Y, Z on a map where you are, move around and create a map of where the space is. And then from the map of the space, okay, how do I divide up that space into rooms? And then the next time I turn on to go do the job, keeping track of where on that map I am so I know which room I'm in at any time.
I'm curious about that concept. A kitchen is, it might know where its kitchen is, but could it eventually be extrapolated to understand what, if you take it into a different home, oh, this mm-hmm. is a kitchen because there's a stove and a fridge and that sort of thing.
I mean, I think that's where things will go.
Down the road.
Down the road. Right now, what we do is we show you your floor plan, we guess where it's likely rooms are, and then you can go edit that map, little push a wall here or a divider here, and then name the rooms. Because kitchens might be recognizable, but if you call the playroom the den, it's going to be a long time before we have AI that can figure that out. So,
hey, Chris, do you mind if I cut in and ask a question?
How you go doing, right Colin? Ahead, Evan.
Hey, Colin.
Hey.
So sometimes it seems to me like the futuristic stuff on offer isn't always the stuff people most want or need. Like moving furniture around, that sounds very cool. But what I'm looking for is robots that will fold my laundry and do dishes. I mean, like the dishwasher was a major innovation. Like, there have been major innovations in ending drudgery. And I wonder if we're close to another of those.
Right. So, you know, the industry is progressing. And we started off with things that we thought we could do at a price point that was lower than the value that the service was. And that's good business. You can sell, you know, we sold over 20 million robots. And last year, the Roomba vacuum cleaner was actually the number one selling vacuum cleaner in the United States, which is like, woohoo, we got one. Now, you asked about folding laundry and things that require arms. And this idea that understanding the home is critical for the advancement of robotics, I think that that's a great example, because what's the point of having arms on a robot if you don't know where anything is? So that, you know, the all-important go to the kitchen and get me a beer is an irrelevant or an impossible request if I don't know where the kitchen is and don't know where the refrigerator is. But and so that this idea of, okay, technology has gotten to the point where we can understand where a room is. So that's like a big deal. That's like the beginning of understanding enough about the home to go at arms. Understand local...
I like this idea of the importance of understanding as building on technology. It does make me wonder how much we have to give up about ourselves and our privacy to make it all work. That is, how much do the robots really have to know about our homes and our lives before they can be useful? And are you concerned that we're giving up so much about our private spaces?
Well, you know, I think that if you want the robot to clean the kitchen, it needs to know what the kitchen is to some degree, meaning the bounds and so forth. It doesn't need a picture of the kitchen. It doesn't need a ton of detail. And we can do that. And again, this is something that as a consumer, if you want this, I think you need to know two things. One, what am I going to get for it? Okay, robot is going to be able to clean the kitchen when without giving this information, it can't. And second, is the company that you're giving that information to going to treat that information in a respectful way, using best practice to try to ensure that that information is held secure? And so, you know, iRobot is investing continuously, aggressively in privacy and security, and we tell you what you're going to get for sharing the data. And if you don't want to do that, well, then the Roomba can't clean your kitchen. It'll just clean the whole house. And maybe that's okay. But this partnership between benefit and confidence is a trade-off we have to continually look at.
That's Colin Engel, co-founder and CEO of iRobot. Colin, thanks so much for being here.
My pleasure.
Back to you in the studio, Evan.
Thanks so much, Chris. That's Radio Boston's Chris Siderek. Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Evan Horowitz. This is Radio Boston.